With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, how much of a good night's sleep is in the mind? If you're feeling groggy in the morning, it might not be that you've had a bad night's sleep, but maybe instead it's that you've thought yourself into a bad night's sleep. Sounds strange, but maybe it is true. And if new research is anything to go by, here to discuss it is our favourite scientist, Niamh Shaw. You're very welcome back to the show.
Hello, Laura. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Did you have a good night's sleep last night?
Do you know, I thought I didn't, but I reassessed it and I think I had.
Exactly. I'm the same. Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? All this stuff about sleep.
It massively is. I mean, you do look like you've had a great night's sleep, in fairness. You're nice and refreshed here this morning. And is it all in the mind? That's what we're going to get into today, because we are talking about the new research. I kind of teased it throughout the show. But it says that how we think about sleep affects how refreshed we are the next morning.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's crazy. You know, like if you become too obsessed with your sleep, you actually create a problem. But there's been research that shows that basically, you know, if you think you've had a bad night's sleep, you'll feel fatigued.
Yeah.
And it's all about how your approach to it is. It was really interesting. There was one guy, one of these sleep specialists had a client, and he was looking at his sleep diary, and he went, "Oh yeah, I got 5 hours there." And he was obsessed that he had to get 6 hours. And he said, you know, "I only realised at the end of the day that the clocks went back. So I thought I'd 6 and then I'd 5. And that makes perfect sense why I was so tired in the gym." But up until that realisation, he was feeling perfectly fine. Then they've had studies where they've put people on, kind of, they've given them the sleep monitors and all that kind of stuff. And they told one half of the group, "No, you didn't sleep well." And the other half of the group, "No, you slept really well." And they actually had slept the exact same amount of time. But the people that were told that they didn't have a good night's sleep, they go, yeah, that makes sense. I'm really fatigued. And another study they did was they had people sleeping for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And they had another group of people where they had them sleeping for 5 hours. But they told the people that were sleeping for 8 hours that they only had 5 hours. And they go, "Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, I'm knackered." And the people that had actually slept 5 hours, they told them that they slept for 8 hours. Goes, "Yeah, that's right. I actually feel great." You know, so it's like all in our heads.
Actually gaslighting ourselves into thinking that we're tired the whole time. Like, okay, so let's get into the research, because this is all about how we think we sleep. And I mean, you explained it so very well there, that if you wake up, you know, and if you have a sleep tracker and if you look at that and that says broken sleep, you're going to go, "Yeah, that explains everything, why I'm wrecked." But where, you know what I mean? Whereas you probably could have been in the bed for 8 hours and you would have been totally fine.
Yeah. But also broken sleep is normal. Like, so you have blocks of sleep. Yes. You have about 5 to 6 awakenings a night. So there's a cycle of sleep, light sleep, REM, deep sleep, light sleep, REM, deep sleep. And the shortest amount of sleep you have in that phase is deep sleep. And that's kind of very restorative. And you only need like 1 to 2 amounts of deep sleep a night. But mostly you're going in and out of light sleep most of the time and a little bit of REM. So you naturally wake up, toss and turn and go back asleep. And it's very, very normal. But sometimes people, when they wake up in that awakening, they go, you know, but actually it's perfectly fine. And in a way, sometimes too much information is a hindrance. And this is what some of the information is showing us about sleep trackers, that really just take it with a pinch of salt. Mm. It's just really for you to have an idea of how things are going, but it's not set in stone. And the more rigid you approach, like, "Oh, I have to get 8 hours," the more you're actually going to put pressure on yourself. You talk to people that sleep well. They just don't think about it.
Yeah,
they don't even think about it. You go, "What do you do?" "I don't know. I just go to sleep."
They're always men.
But the people that are the worriers and the thinkers are the people that kind of struggle with sleep. But then the more you worry about not sleeping, the higher the likelihood is that you won't actually have a good night's sleep.
I'm going to count my deep sleep on the couch. You know, I always get the deepest sleep right before I'm going to bed and I'm passed out on the couch. Yeah. And then I wake up and I get back into bed and I'm like, I'm going to reassess this now and be like, that was phase one of my night's sleep. Yeah. I'm adding this in.
And there's things that you can do, like do relaxation or listen to, you know, you have all those apps on your phone. Now, Headspace would be a big one that I would use, like, if I'm not sleeping. Just put on like river sounds or sort of some sort of background noise or whatever. And the mindset thing is really interesting, because, like, I think I'm perfect proof of that, because I'm an overthinker completely. Yeah. And there'd be nights where I wouldn't sleep at all. But I've started this every morning now for, like, you know, I've been meditating on and off, but now I'm religiously doing every morning, the first thing I do, even when I'm half awake, is I start meditating. And what it does is it actually wakes me up and it makes me feel good and smug. You know, that feeling in smug is like, I'm so amazing. And it kind of gives you that feeling of, oh, and you actually get over the feeling of, oh, I'm so tired. So no matter what night's sleep I have, my little moment of smugness, which is my meditation, actually kind of kills that, oh, I'm so tired.
I'm wrecked.
You know, because you catch up, you've good nights and you have bad nights. And what the research is showing is like, just look at it overall over a 2 week period. Yeah, you know, there's going to be like maybe one or two nights you didn't sleep well, but overall
you're going
you
okay.
You slept okay.
Yeah.
And you know, watch yourself, as opposed to, don't be obsessed with the tracker, like.
Yeah, actually, just internally be like, how do I feel?
How do I feel? What time did you go to bed at? You know, like, what were you doing before you went to bed? Did you eat before you go to bed? Like, logically figure it out for yourself. Don't rely on a watch. And there's a really interesting thing about this, you know, this woman, and she used to have the sleep tracker and it was brilliant. And then, you know, they give you these kind of encouraging messages like, oh, don't go to the gym today, you're too tired. Or, oh, looks like you didn't sleep well. And like, she was a mum of triplets and she just felt like she hadn't had a good night's sleep because she was up all night with the kids. And then the watch is going, ooh, it looks like he didn't sleep well, and she's going, leave me alone.
This is absolutely like coming at you. You don't need, like, another thing.
Yeah, I know I didn't sleep well. You don't have to tell me, you know.
Niamh, do you think that we have become too fixated on our sleep?
Yes, I think we have. Another really interesting study was they looked at groups of, you know, communities of hunter-gatherers. They're not kind of in this industrial sort of age that we're in. Hunter-gatherers sleep less, but like, do you sleep well? They go, oh yeah, I'm grand. You know, they're perfectly happy. But it's the people that kind of live in you know, the world that we live in, which we're kind of desk-based jobs. Yeah. We're not using our bodies nearly as much as people that are out there and kind of, you know, they're outdoorsy people. So, you know, we think we need more sleep than we actually do.
Yeah, and I know personally, just over the years, like, I would have been so fixated on making sure I got X amount of steps. I had like, you know, an exact routine before I went to bed, that I had to get enough fresh air that day. Yeah. And then if I didn't get all those things, even though I might be in bed about to fall asleep, I'd be like, oh, I didn't get any of those things, I'm going to have a crap night's sleep. It's mad. I didn't need them because I was falling asleep. I would have been fine if I left myself 5 more seconds.
Yeah.
We've talked obviously about the sleep tracker apps, and they are creating a bit of a problem around anxiety and whatnot. To be very clear, we are not flippantly saying that insomnia isn't real.
Absolutely
it certainly
not.
Is. And people need to address it, as it can have a terrible impact in their lives. What is a thing that is called paradoxical insomnia? That sounds terrifying.
Well, paradoxical insomnia is basically where, you know, you're measuring your sleep, but you think it's worse than it actually is. Mm. So you've got all this data. So there is a small percentage of people that don't sleep very well, but the majority of the people are actually sleeping better than they think. So because they're getting into their heads like, oh, I'm an insomnia, I'm not sleeping well. The data actually shows you're actually sleeping better than you think you are. So it's this paradox idea that sleep is worse than it is. So yes, there are people that genuinely have sleep disorders, but the percentage of them are much less than we realise. And you're creating your own issues, because the more you worry about it, the less chance you are of getting to go asleep. So what it does is it kind of switches you on, and it makes you kind of hyper awake before you go to sleep. And if you're watching the clock, you're actually going to create the anxiety that's actually going to keep you asleep. You just have to let go and just trust the process. Now, that is advice for people that aren't your genuine insomniacs, because they are genuinely out there. But the majority of the people are, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, in a way.
Yeah.
Because we're worrying so much about it.
We talked obviously about the research that was done on the hunter-gatherers, with the groups in Africa, and their approach to sleep, which was that kind of like, yeah, I was grunt.
Yeah.
I was totally fine. Is the research suggesting that we've too rigid of a view of what makes a good night's sleep?
Yeah, I think that's it to a T. And that's generally the overall remark, like, from what I was reading, is that we have this notion like, oh, you must get 8 hours of sleep. And it isn't. It's dynamic. And it's based on psychological, physiological, environmental, how much you work that day. Did you oversleep? You know, I don't know about you, but I try to rest more at the weekends than I do, you know, during the week. And so sometimes I'll sleep in much later than I will during the week. But then I kind of have learned, well, I'm going to have difficulty going to sleep on Sunday night, because I've actually probably slept too much over the weekend. Yeah. So I kind of just offer it up. And as I say, with my smug meditation in the morning, I kind of just do that mindset, that mindset, and that kind of resets me. So it isn't rigid. It's different for everyone. There are some nights where you're going to sleep really well because you've been very physical and you've done loads of work. Other nights you're not going to sleep well because maybe you've had a row with your partner and you're just not feeling very well.
You're anxious.
And so they're natural reasons why you won't sleep. And just, it's fine. It's just temporary. It's all a flow.
I really enjoy how you broke this research down for us because it is very much just chill the beans.
Chill. You know chill. I mean? My dad's hilarious. My dad is like, Dad, do you have any problems going to sleep?
Nope.
And like my mum was like, oh, I was up all night, I'm worrying about the lawn, and you know, like she's like constantly worrying, and she's awake because she's worrying, whereas he's just gone. And all my life Dad just goes asleep. Yep. Never had any problem because I don't think he gives it any thought whatsoever, and I'm trying to embrace that because I would be a worrier, and yep, I've just tried to go, you know what, just let go.
The birds used to drive me absolutely scatty. Really? Down around where I live, it was like the seagulls and whoever. Oh, yeah. During mating season they'd be up from like 4:30 in the morning, and I have to sleep with the window open because I'm too warm.
Yeah.
So when you'd have the window open you'd hear them screeching away outside, and I used to wake up crying, being like, oh my god, what's going on? And I remember I said it to my granny before. You can't get sympathy from a granny, like, let's just be completely realistic. And she just goes, the worst thing's happening in the world. It's a couple of birds knocking about outside your door. Just calm down, go back to sleep. And I was like, I actually think I needed someone to just be like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. And once I did that, I was like, oh yeah, now I can go back to sleep again. It's totally fine. Yeah. Speaking of birds, right? This might be a bit left field of a question, but like, do all creatures sleep and sleep the same?
Most creatures sleep some kind of rest more than sleep, but it's really interesting. Birds do sleep. A lot of creatures have this thing called unihemispherical sleep. So one side of their brain sleeps and the other part of them stays awake. Yeah. So it's why ducks like line up in a row when they go asleep. So one of them, so the eye that's open is the side of the brain that's still awake. So one of them will sleep with the right part of their brain asleep, and so their left eye is open, and then they'll all be asleep, and then the one on the end has
the other side.
Their left side of their brain will be asleep and the right side will be open, so that eye will be awake. Yeah.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, and birds that are flying, that are migrating, are doing the same. What they'll do is they'll try and kind of soar in those instances if they have to sleep, or they'll kind of take little naps. But some birds will go days without sleep. Like,
sorry,
elephants don't sleep much, which I found really interesting. Yeah, elephants don't need sleep much at all.
They're just,
they go for
around
days without sleeping. Giraffes are, it's down to like the general rule is with mammals is that if you're a predator, you have a sleep like a human. You'll have REM, you'll sit down, you'll go asleep like lions and tigers and stuff. But if you're prey, giraffes particularly, they don't sleep very well. They sleep very, very lightly.
They're quite anxious, I would say.
Yeah, and rabbits obviously as well, because they're prey, so they have to be very careful. And then a lot of mammals have this half brain kind of sleep thing. Dolphins, birds.
That has been the best piece of information that I've learned all day. That I'm going to be regurgitating this to so many people all of the time. It's so interesting.
Fish generally rest.
Yeah.
They don't really sleep in the classic sense. So they'll go into like a cave or something and they just go, oh, I'm knackered, you know. Just like, oh, I'm done with my chores, you know. And they're just, it's like us like lying on the couch watching Countdown or something. That's what fish are doing.
Find a Nemo, Eve. You should really get on for a voice. Yeah. You going into a cave. Oh, I'm knackered. I'm wrecked.
See you later. And then like, oh, leave me alone.
I'm sure everybody's thinking of their cats and dogs right now who are just lazing around.
Dogs
the place
are great. Dogs sleep a lot. Dogs, you know, about 20% of the day, dogs are very close to kind of falling asleep.
Yeah.
And then they'll sleep about 13% of the day. So they're always in a kind of, when they're relaxed, they're kind of very close to a nap and stuff. So dogs would sleep a lot. But that's because they're feeling very safe. But I imagine dogs that are out in the wild, they probably don't sleep in the same.
I know. The ones in the house are just little freeloaders and they're living their best life. Like, they're happy out.
I'm sure you see that with your little gorgeous.
Oh, absolutely. He's living his best life. And then he's throwing a strop about things. But anyways, scientist Dr. Neve Shaw, our favourite ever. We absolutely love you. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing all that research about sleep with us today. And especially, sorry, the half brains. I'm obsessed with this one. We'll see you again soon. 2FM.